the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him? In short, he is the Creator and the Lord of creation, who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb, when he made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, when he fixed his limit for it and set bars and doors, when he said, "This far you may come, but no farther. Here your proud waves must stop." He is the almighty and eternal Son of the living God, by whom all things were made, without whom nothing was made that has been made, who is now living in the world in the flesh and blood of true man. There is particular significance in his command of the elements, especially the wind upon the waters, for these are the waters of creation upon which the Spirit of Yahweh is blowing. And again, the waters of the flood, cleansing the world of sin, then being dried from the earth once more by the Spirit of Yahweh. We all know the importance of water as one of the most basic components of life at all levels. For the Lord Jesus to control the waters of the sea, therefore, is an indication of his life-giving power. At the same time, there is also a destructive potential in water. And no doubt you've experienced for yourself the terrifying fury of storms, as we've had recently, thunder and lightning and torrential rains driven by gale force winds threatening the safety of both man and beast. The storms of life, both natural and metaphorical, beginning already with the great flood of the Old Testament, are the tragic result of sin. Not so much as retribution for this or that particular sin, but rather as the consequence of life in a sinful world, the curse that has been placed upon creation. It is sin that brought this return to chaos and these so-called natural disasters into God's beautiful creation. When man rebelled against his Creator and Lord, he threw a monkey wrench into the works. He brought death into a world that was created for real life with God. If not for the gracious preservation of the Lord, we should very soon have brought the entire universe to a tragic end. As it is, he allows our self-inflicted death and destruction to continue, but only to the extent that it must drive us back to him. The fact of the matter is, though, apart from the Word and Spirit of Christ, the tragedies of life do not serve their purpose of driving you back to the Lord. Instead, they only drive you that much further away into the utter depths of despair. Like the disciples then, you begin to wonder and question if the Lord has forgotten you, if he may be sleeping on the job, or if he just doesn't care that you are perishing. Of course, Christ your Lord really does care. And his genuine concern is already demonstrated in this gospel in the first place by his crossing of the sea, crossing over to the land of the Gentiles. For he is here bringing mercy and forgiveness, life and salvation to those who have walked in the darkness of unbelief. There are many parallels in this respect to the familiar Old Testament story of Jonah. who was sent by God to preach repentance and forgiveness to the Gentiles of Nineveh. The prophet Jonah, as you know, did not want to go to those people. He tried to run away on a ship in the opposite direction. But that ship, too, was caught in the grip of a violent storm. And where do you suppose the captain found poor Jonah? Asleep below the deck. Then, after he had woken up, the storm was finally brought to an end when Jonah voluntarily directed his shipmates to throw him overboard into the depths of the sea. There he spent 3 days underwater in the belly of a fish before emerging onto land to continue his mission from God. Not coincidentally, Jesus tells us elsewhere in the Gospels that Jonah is the sign of Jesus' own cross and resurrection. The 3 days that he would spend in the belly of the earth, followed by his rising from the dead. And it is his voluntary self-sacrifice, his cross, that brings a calm to all the storms of sin. Indeed, the mercy and compassion of his cross and resurrection flow throughout his life and ministry. Of course, his calming of the storm demonstrates not only his compassion, but also his divinity as the Son of God. Hence, the fear of the sinful disciples in response to his miracle as they are here confronted by Almighty God. And yet, his divine compassion and his genuine concern for the disciples and for you is shown above all else by his true humanity. For Christ, the Son of God, is also the man who is most truly human. His very presence there in the boat, just as he was, sleeping like a baby on a pillow in the stern, testifies to the reality of his human flesh and blood. Flesh and blood just like yours, in which he carries all of your sin and all of your suffering to the cross. In his presence, the disciples should not have been afraid. In his presence, the only proper attitude is faith and trust in his divine compassion. To be sure, the disciples did the right thing by going to Christ in their time of need. However small their faith had become, still they ran to Christ, woke him up, and sought his help. In truth, the Spirit of God drove them to their knees before this one who is their Savior. God grant that he would do the same for you. But the real example of faith in this gospel is Christ himself. His sleeping in the boat in the midst of that storm was itself already an act of faith and trust in his Father. He lived his entire life in this way, entrusting himself, his body and soul and all things into the hands of God. And it was also in this perfect faith that he willingly sacrificed himself in the flesh for the forgiveness of all your sin and for the healing of his creation. In the sleeping and waking of Christ on the boat is foreshadowed his cross and resurrection. And in his calming of the storm when he awoke is the restoration of creation by the same cross and resurrection. The curse of sin is lifted. The storm must cease. There is a great calm, like the word of God at creation. Behold, he looked at everything he had made, and it was very good. And God rested from the work that he had done. Thus do you live your life in that peaceful calm of the new creation in the cross and resurrection of Jesus. Indeed, you are able to sleep, as it were, in the peace of Christ, because you are traveling safely with him in the boats of his church, while the unbelieving world, with your old Adam, is drowned and destroyed in the waters of the flood. You are kept dry and secure in this holy ark of Christendom. Herein you are crossing with your Lord to the other side, crossing the Red Sea out of slavery in Egypt to the freedom of forgiveness, and crossing the Jordan River out of the wilderness of sin into the promised land of heaven and eternal life. And all the while, the wind and the waves that would otherwise terrify you and threaten to kill you have been replaced by the quiet waters and the Holy Spirit of your baptism. In the midst of all the storms of life, however threatening and scary they might be, you hear the powerful word of the Lord in the gentle voice of Jesus, your Savior, rising above the tumult. Peace be with you. Be still and know that I am God. I will never leave you nor forsake you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.